Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. My name is Margaret Katz Kahn, and I'm here today with my teammate, Michelle Malloy Dillon.
Hi, Margaret. It's great to be here with you.
It's nice to be here with you. And our guest today is Jenny Arbogash. And I'm super excited to have Jenny on the show. I got to work with Jenny for many, many years at the Community Foundation, where she came in to help us grow and then eventually take to be its own independent nonprofit, Social Venture Partners of Boulder County. And she is a sort of a specialist in a lot of things, but the way that I got to know her through SVP was this consultant role that SVP plays in coming into nonprofits and helping them with a really specific project with both financial and all kinds of wisdom resources. So she works with lots and lots of nonprofit leaders. She's now a consultant on her own. And Jenny, welcome. We're super happy to have you.
Thank you. It is exciting to be in a conversation with both of you, two women that I really respect and appreciate. So thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. And I've been a cheerleader of yours for so many years as you were working through the Community Foundation, where I was doing some work for them too. And as you moved through the Social Venture Partnership, and now as you have your own consulting business. So yay, Jenny, it's great to be here with you.
Yes, and it's fun that we all have that connection through the Community Foundation. That's how Michelle and I met originally as well. So So Jenny, you wrote a blog this week about vulnerability in leadership. And I'd love if you would just be willing to share a little bit about why that topic felt important for you in this
moment. Sure. Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to jump right into being vulnerable with you, because this is something I haven't talked about very much yet. My maternal grandmother passed away from COVID in late December. I was intellectually ready for it, but emotionally it really hit me hard. It's been difficult. And I've spent a lot of time over the last month and a half thinking about what I would write about my grandma. And one day, honestly, I was in bed just thinking about the day, and I started thinking about grandma, and I started thinking about vulnerability and how she had played such a role in my relationship with vulnerability, and how that played a role in work. And so the blog that I wrote really came out of that. It's this combination of a very personal piece of my history and my story that comes down, you know, generationally from my grandma to my mom to me. And yet it also is very professional, because my relationship with vulnerability had a huge influence in how I acted as a leader in work for a long time. And then I started to adjust and change because of some things that happened with my grandma, and some really good feedback I got from employees. And then when my relationship with vulnerability started to change, I started to see just this magnificent, beautiful change in my relationships and success at work. It was just wonderful. And so now I feel, you know, super passionate about sharing that with other people.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm so sorry to hear about your grandmother's passing. And there's so much about vulnerability that we do learn from how people in our life model it with us. People in our families, people in our work life, leaders in our life. There's so much information that we get sort of subliminally about whether it's okay to be vulnerable or not. So I love how you're bringing up the fact that when you were becoming more vulnerable, you began to notice an impact around you. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, yes. You know, I think vulnerability is such an important aspect of emotional intelligence. And I'll be really, you know, transparent. There were a lot of ways in which I had high emotional intelligence, but vulnerability was not one of them. And so there was a point a number of years ago where one of my employees just gave me really honest feedback about things that she struggled with me as a leader and a manager. And she wasn't saying the word vulnerability. You know, she wasn't saying you're not being vulnerable at work, but she was saying things like, you know, you ask for input, which is wonderful, but you aren't good at letting the rest of us have the answers. You aren't good at sharing in certain ways. I can tell you're deeply caring. She's really kind about saying you care so much, but you're an island.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel warm, you know? So she was really talking about vulnerability. And this was very much around the time that I had an experience with my grandma that also helped me to see that I had learned some not very good healthy habits about vulnerability. And so I started very slowly. I have to admit, there was a period of being defensive, but I started very slowly practicing some of the things that you know, I hadn't been good at. And I think the best way I can describe the impact to your question, Michelle, is really seeing the people around me flower. It's like a flower opening up, right? Like when I was vulnerable and I allowed space for other people and a connection with other people in a new way, they were able to open up and shine and be their full selves, be more successful and impactful. And yes, it's not like it happened overnight, right? Like changes don't happen.
Yeah, it's definitely a process.
It's a process. Yes. But it was really clear. The little things I did, little things, had to do them consciously. But the little things I did made a difference for everyone around me and helped things be less about me, which is a good thing.
You know, I can't help think about this gift that my husband gave me many years ago. It was maybe a decade ago. And it was this beautiful glass sculpture. And the title of it was Grace Under Pressure. And he was so excited to give it to me because he was like, that's what you are. You're grace under pressure. And it took my breath away when he gave it to me because I was like, oh no. Do you know how hard it feels to be grace under pressure? I'm obviously doing that too much. I need to like open up. I need to spread the responsibility. I need to tell people how hard this is right now. And that was sort of the beginning of my awareness of this being an important skill, just so I can keep going as well.
Yeah. Right. I love where you're going with that, Michelle. And I think for all of us, and I love Jenny that you know, that you're really looking at this relationship with your grandmother and the ways that she modeled, right? Not being vulnerable. And I too believed for most of my life, you know, that the men would walk out of the room if I got tearful or emotional, you know, like that was what was going to be required of me at work. So there's both what our families model for us, but also obviously a broader, you know, cultural message about this. And, you know, for me, it was my leadership training where I suddenly got feedback, which is part of vulnerability, right? But that being vulnerable is actually a superpower. And, you know, like you, Jenny, I've so seen that at play. You know, I love your metaphor of flowers opening. You know, it creates something, doesn't it, in space when you manage to crack open a little bit.
I love that. I love what you're saying, Margaret. I think, you know, being vulnerable in general in our culture in the United States, but also in many other parts of the world, has been seen as being weak. And yet it takes strength and courage to be vulnerable, to be imperfect in this pretty demanding world that we live and work in. And so you're right. It's what we learn in our family and at home. It's what we learn at work, but it's also what we learn all over the place. This is, you know, we're really, our culture says that we shouldn't be vulnerable, that it's not okay. Maybe that it's not safe. You know, one of the things I'm super committed to and care passionately about, reminded me of, is this piece around justice and how can we take actions every day to be in solidarity with individuals who are different from ourselves, from individuals who aren't part of the majority. And I think practicing vulnerability is so critical if we care about justice, if we care about a world where everyone has a chance to be whole and to succeed. And I say whole very purposely, because that's what both of you were talking about. You're talking about being whole people. You know, the expectation for perfection is even greater for those who are in the minority, for those who don't have power. And so whether that's in a situation where it's you don't have power because of your position, or it's because you're a woman, or it's because you're Black and almost everybody else is white, whatever it might be, you know, if the people that have power and have a leadership role are modeling vulnerability in those moments, it changes the culture. It makes everything more welcoming and supportive. And to your point, Michelle, you're talking about, you know, this is a lot of pressure to have grace and in this way. And I need more support. And not only when you open up and be more vulnerable, do you get more support, but you also give that other person the opportunity to give you support.
Yeah, it's actually has this inviting. That was the hard thing for me to still get my grasp around, because there's this idea that we have, and there is cultural reasons for it, and everything that you're pointing out, Jenny. It's like, I don't want to show that I'm vulnerable because I don't want to be weak, mm-hmm. or I don't want to be taken advantage of, or there's reasons that I need to have my walls up. And yet by showing vulnerability, we actually invite other people in. We become more human to others and less removed. So it has this energy of inviting in, mm-hmm. and not being vulnerable has the energy of pushing away. And that's often not the intention.
Yeah. You know, Margaret, I know you've done so much work with fundraising, and I think a lot about how critical vulnerability is and this inviting in idea is for fundraisers in the world, like building that authentic relationship with someone who is going to be in partnership with your organization. I'm sorry, Michelle, I get so excited and I just take off on another track, but
I'm following you, Jenny. I'm following.
All right.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Good. I'm wonky about these things.
Yeah, like, no wonky. You're doing, it's great. And I love the fundraising, like totally. And you know, I think what we are talking about, there's a lot of emotional pieces to the vulnerability, mm-hmm. but even if we look at vulnerability in a slightly different context, which is, you know, an executive director, development person who's struggling, like their organization is struggling mm-hmm. with something, you know, there's nothing emotional about it. Like, oh, we lost a key employee and we're having trouble hiring, or, you know, we tried a project and it's a disaster. It's not going well. And they want to put this spin sometimes with their donors. And I am always the voice of, I don't think I've ever lost a donor by being honest about something. You know, they love being part of the solution. They love that you trust them enough to, you know, and I think we forget, like, not too many of our donors think that we should be perfect. Only we think that.
Right. You know,
which we can generalize from donors to all of our other relationships.
Well, there's so much, I'm curious for both of you, you know, there's so much here about what expectations we put on ourselves to not be vulnerable to. Like there's the external expectations that we feel from culture and family and all of that, but there's also all this that we put on ourselves. Like if I'm vulnerable, or if I'm not perfect, or if I don't have all the answers, then I will lose my job. Yeah. Like those kinds of things. Have you two had those kinds of experiences where you realized you were putting that on yourself?
Yeah, I have this early career. So I was an intern for the New York State Department of State back when I was in college. And I felt like I was entering the adult world. Like, you know, I wear a suit to work and there was this attitude that I didn't realize I was holding, that I needed to act aggressive. I needed to act sure of what I was doing. I didn't know anything, right? I was an intern. I was just trying to figure it out. And I met this woman, Representative Nita Lowey. And she came into the office one day and she was so warm and gracious. And the only way I can put it is girly. Like, she was dressed in like a flower blouse and she didn't have the power shoulder pads of the 80s at the time, you know, and she was just so warm and she was kind of emotional, but she was really effective. And she was really admired by the people I was working with. And that was a real lesson to me, because I thought, wow, you can be a woman with power and not be acting like a man. Like, it was a real eye-opener to me that she appeared to be completely herself and comfortable with who she was and not perfect and enough. And that had a big impact on me.
Yeah. I love that you were open to that impact, because I'm here to tell you, you know, I spent a giant chunk of my professional career working for a powerful woman who teared up, you know, when she told stories that were painful or when she was moved by something. And I still really, that did not interfere with the strength of my narrative, that for me, right, you know, like if I ever fractured, or like, you know, and I say fractured and like a little tiny, like if I let my light shine out through a fracture in that armor, that I would be kicked right out of the boardroom. So yeah, it's been a long journey, you know, for me to get to this place.
It is a journey. It's not like, aha, I am now in vulnerability and I'm completely comfortable with, like, it comes, it weaves in and out, it comes and goes.
I am sort of curious, you know, I mean, because I am an example of, you know, I would have defended to the death, no, we don't cry at work. We don't, you know, those kinds of things. But, and maybe crying at work, I'm not endorsing that exactly, but just this, like you two, both of you and myself also, you know, we're in teams all the time. We talk with people, you know, across scores of organizations. Like, have we talked to people where this has really gone badly? I mean, do we believe in this wholly out of nothing, or actually is there some constant reminder that no, vulnerability can be dangerous in the work setting or professional setting?
I love that question. Yeah, you know, I think I have definitely seen times where it hasn't gone well, personally, and I've also done a lot of reading about vulnerability and the work setting, and I've also, you know, seen that conversation in my readings as well. And I do think this is why I actually often recommend starting with little things and being thoughtful and practicing awareness while you're doing it, because I think, like anything, you can swing too far, right? You can do that yo-yo or whatever it's called.
Over-calibrate,
right. And share too much, or share or practice vulnerability in a way that maybe isn't safe with the right person or the right people. I think there's this component here of it's an aspect of your whole emotional intelligence. So you do have to be aware of the setting and the level of vulnerability that you're sharing, and whether or not it is going to be okay. And it takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, to Michelle's point, it's something that is it's a lifelong practice, the lifelong journey of growing and improving, just like anything else. And so I do, when I talk with people about this, I usually, especially if I'm mentoring or coaching or advising, I encourage people to be, take baby steps when they get started, so that they can see what feels what feels comfortable and safe and won't cause harm to them or somebody else.
Yeah, being conscious of the impact of vulnerability and there's this fine line between being brave enough to be vulnerable and also checking in with the situation where you're in. So there's a couple different ideas that come up for me here. It's like as leaders in an organization, if we're trying to create more of a culture of vulnerability or having permission to be vulnerable, there's a way of sort of holding what someone is sharing and having the ability to share something yourself. There's an exchange that's going on. And yet it feels like if there's one person that's just sort of like being super vulnerable and taking over, that can have another impact that may be unintentional. So holding this way of being vulnerable as a team, like allowing it in and not letting it to take over or to derail or to whatever that other thing is, right? There's a balance.
I think, Michelle, what you're sort of naming or pointing me towards is that sometimes there's a really authentic vulnerable, and sometimes we mistake vulnerability for being triggered and expressing ourselves in ways that are not actually appropriate to the situation. And I hate the word appropriate.
Thank you for verbalizing what I was saying, a lot of words to say. That's exactly what I meant.
Right? Like where something happens and really the right level to respond would be a 3 and you find yourself at an 8, or a 9, like right into the space. Like, I'm just being vulnerable. This sucked for me. Or, however that comes out. So that's my work. Can you tell? Still working on that. Yeah.
You're making me think of, I've worked with an organization that has a very familial culture amongst the people involved, whether they're staff or volunteers, board members. And we've talked about how the familial culture is actually really critical to who they are and important, and they don't want to lose that. And having a familial culture has some potential negative aspects to it, or I shouldn't say negative, but can have some harmful at times aspects, where you might get into dynamics that are unhealthy in the way that a family might have. And so we've talked about that, like, if you're going to do that, that you don't demonize that that's the culture, but you are very transparent and open and have very honest discussions about what are the potential drawbacks and how do we approach them and prevent them, or when they happen, how do we, address them? And I think it's the same thing with this vulnerability piece, to your point, Margaret, just that if you're going to really practice vulnerability well, especially as a team, that you talk about how you do that. What's acceptable? How do we do this? How do we be in relationship with each other? It's just a healthy way to be in a team anyway. But I think that's really important, is that you're,
that it's like you're creating a container for, what do we want vulnerability to look like, in our team or in our organization, and let's have a discussion about that. So we kind of understand what this might look like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I sort of feel actually like I want to circle back to your blog, Jenny, because this is another way around vulnerability, which is you were in grief over losing a very dear person to you, and yet you still have to tread through the world. And is there anything, I don't know, that you can say, because it's a different kind of vulnerability, right? When we're bringing something from our outside world in, and it's, I don't know. I'm going to stop. That's my question. What did you learn from trying to navigate that?
Yes. So I've actually worked, while it's been challenging in many ways, I've been fortunate to work within a lot of organizations and volunteer in a lot of organizations where there was a lot of trauma and death. And so to some degree, I've had a lot of practice with that, with that way you, like, how do you appropriately grieve and bring that whole self, your whole self, like into the work world when you're, you know, also grieving intensely. And I think it's different for everyone. I don't think that there's one answer to how this can be, right? Like what's right for the two of you would be different than what's right for me. I'm a person who I need to try to be open and honest to some degree. So I need to, like, if I'm having a hard day and I go into a meeting, this just happened a couple of weeks ago, where I know I'm not 100% myself, I will just acknowledge that with the person I'm working with, which for me is usually a client that's paying me, you know, and I'll just say, you know, I lost somebody close to me. I'm not having my best day. Will you please give me some grace in this conversation if I'm not 100% on top of things? And you know, 99% of the time, people are like, of course, I'd be happy to do that. And then we'll often end the conversation. It was fine. You were fine. You know,
yeah.
Because we have so much higher expectations for ourselves. So for me, I think my answer is that I do want to have a little bit of transparency in sharing. Now, in that work setting with a client, am I going to get deep into my grief with my grandmother's passing? No, I'm not gonna, you know, so there is that balance of sharing, but not oversharing for sure.
So in the coaching world, Jenny, what you're talking about is something that we call it clearing. So it's like showing up to a meeting, and we do this sometimes in the fundraising leadership team meetings. It's like, you know, what's here now? Well, my grandmother just passed away. I'm not showing up as my full self today. And someone else might say, you know, my daughter just twisted her ankle and she's, you know, crying in the next room and I'm a little distracted. And that's all. It's like, this is what's showing up to this space. It's acknowledging it, not necessarily going into it a lot or going into a lot of details, but acknowledging what's happening in everyone's world right now. And now we're going to move on and we're going to have our meeting together and we're going to do some work together. But knowing that that's happening, it's not stepping over it, it's not ignoring it, it's not trying to act like it's not exist, it doesn't exist. And there's an energy that's created in that we just kind of know what's going on with each other without going into lots of detail. And it's important. It builds intimacy over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point, Michelle. And this feels like a good segue, Jenny, of your blog and all of your recent thinking about this topic. Is there something that you can challenge or suggest to our listeners that they can try?
Oh, definitely. Thank you for that question, Margaret. I think, you know, if, again, going back to the kind of starting small, if this is something that's new to you, especially, identifying one way that you haven't been vulnerable in your professional life. And perhaps it's one of the practices in the blog that our listeners can take a look at, or something that they learn from Brené Brown, who really has some great work on this conversation. But try that practice out. Try doing it multiple times over a few weeks and paying attention to how it affects you and your colleagues. And you can pay attention to that by just setting aside and put in your calendar 15 minutes a week to reflect and think about how you felt, if you noticed any changes for your teammates, just starting small like that with one thing, and then you can build on that.
Such a great starting point. Thank you so much, Jenny, for being our guest on the podcast today. I wanted to talk about, we do have a free resource that we want to offer, and that is a tip sheet on how to design team agreements. And we think that's going to be a good one if you want to introduce a little bit more vulnerability in conversation for your team.
Yeah, thank you, Jenny. It's been a delight having you. This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already, and you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now go put it into practice.